It's a great paradox. The one who said, "I thirst," from the cross is the one who says, "If any man thirst, let him come to me." He paid the price that lets sinful man drink from the fountains of eternal life. Without him, we face a terrible eternal thirst. Are you thirsting for life that will never end? If so, please stay with us as we learn more about a cry from the cross. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on Cries from the Cross, a journey into the heart of Jesus. Today we're considering the fifth of the seven cries, a cry of suffering.
Jesus said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And I want you to know that at the foot of the cross, where you see Jesus saying, "I thirst," he's the one who gives us the refreshment. So first of all, the first lesson is that all of us are thirsty. The second lesson is that the issue really isn't whether we thirst, but how long we're going to thirst. Now, I have to explain that a little bit. It isn't whether or not we thirst, but how long we're going to thirst. Let me ask you a question. Let's get into it this way. What do you think the people in hell are saying? What do you think that they are going to say throughout all of eternity? Jesus told an interesting story once. He said that there was a rich man and there was a poor man, and the poor man knew God, the beggar did, and the rich man didn't. And both of them died, and their fortunes were reversed in the afterlife. And the story is that the rich man, who had no time for Lazarus, that was the name of the man, not to be confused with the Lazarus whom Jesus raised from the dead. This was a different one. The rich man had no time for Lazarus at all in this life, but in the next life they were able to talk together, because at that time there was a huge gulf between them, but there was some verbal communication, though one could not pass from one side of the gulf to the other. What is the rich man doing in Hades? "Abraham, send Lazarus that he might dip his finger in water and put it on my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I am thirsty." Let me ask you something today. What is hell? Hell is outer darkness. Jesus endured that on the cross, didn't he? What is hell but loneliness? Jesus endured that on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Hell is pain and hell is thirst. Hell is heightened desires of the body, but no fulfillment. So that the alcoholic longs for a drop of alcohol, but there is none. There is none for all of eternity. The sex addict wants sexual fulfillment, but there is none throughout all of eternity. There are these ravenous desires that are constantly burning, constantly unfulfilled. There is an eternal hellish thirst. I thirst. And that man in the story that Jesus told is still thirsting. What is heaven? Well, heaven is a lot of things, but let me give you this description. This is what the scriptures tell us heaven is going to be like. Oh, never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. My dear friend, you drink from the watering holes of the world in this life, and you thirst here and forever. You come to Jesus, who offers us the living water, as he said to the woman at the well, If thou wouldest ask of him, he could have given thee living water, which will bubble up, which will be an artesian well to bubble up into everlasting life. We take what God has implanted within us, in a sense, all the way to heaven. And we enjoy refreshment now, and we enjoy refreshment forever. And the issue is not whether or not we thirst. All of us thirst in this life. The issue is, how long will that thirst last? And for those who do not know Christ, forever. Well, there's a final lesson, and it gets to the heart of it, as you've already guessed it. Jesus thirsted that we might never be thirsty again. Jesus thirsted that we might never be thirsty again. Now, if you were to study the Gospel of John along with Matthew and Mark, because each of them have a different information, some of it overlaps, some of it does not, some of it is new material. What you discover in Matthew and Mark is that when Jesus arrived at Golgotha, right at that moment, before the crucifixion started, he was offered a drink of gall and wine. We don't know exactly what that gall was. Some people say myrrh, some people believe it was a kind of opium, because the intention was it was a sedative. It was given to people to lessen the pain. But it's very clear in the scripture that Jesus refused that cup and said, no, I'm not going to drink it. Now I have to ask you today, why did he refuse that? Why didn't he take the sedative? I think we know the reason. In John chapter 18, verse 11, you remember the words that he spoke to Peter, put the sword up into your shield, and then he said these words, the cup which my heavenly Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? What is that cup? It's the cup of God's wrath. And what Jesus was saying was this, I have to drink the cup of God's wrath, and this cup has been given to me, and I shall drink it without any sedatives, without any way of diminishing its impact. And as Jesus hung there on the cross, he could experience a pure sense of hell without any way that it might be mitigated through medication. So he refused it, the Bible says. What they offer him here in John 19 is a different offer now, because he's about to die. This is some cheap wine. It says that a jar of wine vinegar, this was the kind that the soldiers would drink, was there. So they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when it touched his lips, he said what we will look at in our next series, in our next message. He said, it is finished. So this is near the end of his death. So Pastor Wiersbe has pointed out that there are actually three cups here at the cross. The first, he says, is a cup of charity. It was a genuine desire to help him in his circumstances, but he refused it. The second is kind of a cup of mockery. This is the cheap wine of the soldiers. Oh, he says, I thirst. So they take a jar of vinegar, they put it in a sponge, they put a sponge into it, and they put it to his lips. These were the mockers that were doing that. There's the cup of charity, there's the cup of mockery, but there's also the cup of iniquity, and that's the one that Jesus Christ drank for you and for me. And Jesus said, I will drink this cup that you might never be thirsty again. How could he possibly say to the woman at the well, if you come to me, I will give you living water that will spring up into eternal life? It's because Jesus knew that on the cross he would bear her thirst. And because he would take the cup of wrath and drink it, you and I have the refreshing fountains of his love from which we can enjoy life eternal, and the artesian well bubbles up into everlasting life. See, that's why the poet said, death and the curse were in our cup. O Christ, 'twas full for thee, but thou hast drained the last dark drop. 'Tis empty now for me. My dear friend, have you drunk of the living water? I'm talking to those of you who still have never believed in Christ savingly. Oh, you're good people. I'm not arguing that point. You're religious or you wouldn't be listening to this message. You've maybe even made some kind of a, quote, decision or commitment, because we live in a day of decisional regeneration where all that you have to do is put up your hand or pray a prayer and you think that you're in. I want to ask you a question today. Have you drunk from the living water? Because if you do not, you'll be thirsty forever. Is it any wonder that the last invitation of the Bible, these are the words of Jesus to John, and in four verses later, the New Testament ends. So this is the last invitation. Jesus said, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him who is athirst come. And let him drink of the water of life freely." I urge you today to come to the cross, to the Savior who said, "I thirst," that you and I might be able to enjoy refreshing water now and forever. And my friend, it is refreshing. This is Pastor Lutzer. I'm quoting from memory, but I remember back in the 70s, Malcolm Muggeridge, who was a British journalist, said that he had achieved fame, he had achieved wealth, and also influence. But he says, "You have to believe me when I tell you that all of these things added together cannot compare to one drink of water that I have found in Christ." I speak today to those who are thirsty. Some of you are believers and you are thirsty for a deeper relationship with Jesus. Your life is cluttered with all kinds of things that block the fountain. Would you get rid of these things? Would you confess your sin? Would you clean up your life so that you are no longer continually bombarded by other messages and other opportunities to drink from forbidden fountains? And for those of you who have never trusted Christ, you've listened to this message and you don't know what Jesus is able to do for you. Would you come to him? Would you say, "Lord Jesus, I recognize my sinfulness, my unworthiness, and my helplessness, but I come because you've invited me. I come to drink. I come to ask you to produce within my heart new appetites, new desires, new possibilities, and a new purpose in life, and a new relationship, a relationship with you." Why don't you come to Christ and tell him that? And if you've done it, would you be so kind as to let us know that you've come to trust Christ as Savior as a result of these broadcasts? The other day I received a note from someone in prison telling about how Christ has totally changed his life. Drug dealer, criminal, can't even begin to list all of his sins. And he says, "Through your program, I've come to faith in Christ." Can you imagine the joy that that brought to my heart? You write to us today and let us know what God has done in your life.
Today, Dr. Erwin Lutzer concluded A Cry of Suffering, another in a series of messages on cries from the cross. Tomorrow, another cry, It Is Finished, A Cry of Victory. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Cries from the Cross can be yours as a challenging book by Dr. Lutzer. We'll send it as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. Please join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.